The word says we're called to make disciples. We're growing in the word of God.
Jesus Christ was sent to be our Savior.
This is the Bromley Town Church podcast. We pray God speaks to you through this message, blessing you as you live out God's word. Stream or download other sermon podcasts via the Bromley Town Church website or by using the SoundCloud app. Head over to bromleytownchurch.com.
This morning, that Pastor Jonathan and Helen are not here with us this morning, and for good reason, that today, if it hadn't escaped your attention, is the London Marathon. And their son, Henry, is running for the first time in that marathon. And not surprisingly, as mum and dad, they wanted to go and support him in that. So we said, yes, you go, with our blessings. And so he said, well, that means there's no one to preach. And I said, okay, I put myself in it, haven't I? And he said, yes, please, bring what you think. I said, well, it's the London Marathon. I'm going to preach on something on the London Marathon. What? How does that fit? Well, it will all fall into place, I am sure, as we go on this morning. But yeah, London Marathon. Let me give you some marathon facts. Some you will know, some you will not. First of all, who knows how long it is? How long in distance is it? No, it's not. 26? 26 is the closest. 26 point what? Very good. 26 miles, 385 yards to be precise. Okay, if you only do 26 miles, you're not going to have completed the course, okay? So there you are. The marathon is one of the original events from the modern day Olympics, okay? So it's always been there. The modern day Olympics started in 1896, and it's always been present. It gets its name, marathon, not from the old confectionery bar that some of us are old enough to remember, but it gets its name from a town called Marathon. And Marathon is found in the south of Greece. And it gets its name because there was a battle for Marathon way back in 490 BC. And there was this battle between the Greeks and the invading army. Anyway, the Greeks overcame, or they're on the cusp of overcoming the army. And one of these heralds, as history would have it, was told to run with the good news that they were about to defeat their enemies all the way to Athens. And he did. Apparently, history had that he ran nonstop all the way from Marathon to Athens. I'm not saying it was 26 miles, 385 yards, but it was a long way. And as history has it also, he went in, he told the council, we have won, and probably fell down dead. Let's hope that is not in any way for anyone injured in that race today or anything else. But that's where you get Marathon from. It's from the town of Marathon. The men's world record is set at 2 hours, 6 minutes and 32 seconds, which was established back in 2008. And the women's world record is 2 hours, 23 minutes and 7 seconds, which was attained in 2012. The London Marathon. First London Marathon, anyone? March 1981. Since that time, more than 1 million people have run the course. More than 1 million. And the interesting thing also, over £1 billion worth of charity money has been raised in that time. It therefore makes it the biggest one-day fundraising event internationally. No other bigger event than what's being run this morning. These days, 45, 50,000 people run this course. Can you imagine that? That blew my mind. I didn't know it was that many. 578,000 apply to go on the course, to run the course. And only those lucky few get through. The oldest runner to finish the race was a 90-year-old lady, bless her heart, back in 2002. She ran, completed the whole course. And there are more than 100 Guinness Book of Records associated with the marathon, including fastest carrying a household appliance. the fastest dressed as a plant. You can imagine. Look, when it comes to the Bible, you will probably know, if you read the pages of this amazing book, that there are a lot of references to running, a lot of references to races, and most, if not all of them, actually come from the Apostle Paul. He speaks a lot about sporting analogies, sporting imageries. Now, I don't know whether Paul, in his youth, had been a bit of an athlete. In fact, I tried looking this up, and there's nothing out there suggests that he was. It could have been that Paul was just a bit of a sports fan, a lot of sports fans around. It could have been that he just loved watching the sports, particularly the athletics. But it could have been none of those things. It could have been that he thinks, I'm going to use these things because I know that people will understand when I use these analogies what I'm talking about. Because, we're talking about something spiritual, but now you're aligning it with something of sport. I can understand that. I don't know. However, what I can tell you is that Paul, when he went to Corinth, which again is situated in the south of Greece, historians say he went there around about 50 AD. He went on his first visit, 50 AD. And it had been restored at that time. It was now, again, a prominent city. It was a commercial city. It was a biggest city. It was thriving. It was a very significant city. And in there, that city, once every 2 years, were the Isthmian Games. Big games. Second only to the Olympics themselves. Big, big games. Now, on that first visit, he stayed 18 months. And so it's therefore more than likely that he would have been there during the times of these Isthmian Games that were held in AD 51. And it's likely he would have seen the games. Likely he probably would have gone to it. The whole city was really very much for these games. And as I say, he uses so many of these racing and boxing and thing analogies either to encourage the church or to advance the gospel. And he does it very, very well. Now, with Corinth in mind, and with the Isthmian Games in mind, I'm going to read to you now. We're going to look at what Paul writes when he writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in, and we're going to look at chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Paul says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like somebody running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Okay, let's look at verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, many of the runners in the London Marathon running out there today would have trained for at least 6 months. At least 6 months they would have been given over. I've got a cousin, he's only about a year younger than me. He's running it for the first time as well today. And I know him, bless his heart. He was training a good 6 months ago to get himself ready. He's not a runner in any sense of the form, but he's running. And I've looked it up because sadly I can't tell you from experience what it includes. But training includes eating the right food, recovery of muscles, sustenance of bones, okay? Taking on plenty of water, not just when you're running, through the entire period of the training. Periods of rest and recovery so you can recuperate between runs. Sticking to a training plan, including the days when you do not feel like it. And, interesting one, getting alongside another runner or other runners to aid you, to run with them for mutual encouragement and to help you. And they do this to get a crown that will not last. Undoubtedly a fantastic, fantastic achievement. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But to get a crown that will not last. Now, as I say, Corinth was a big city. And like all big cities, a lot of immoral ways were on the increase in the city. Lots of things were happening that were not good for a fledgling church that Paul had established. So he's writing to the church to say, come on, guys, enough of all this. We've got to stay on track. We've got to remain on course. We've got to run this race. We've got to be where we should be. We mustn't allow society's influences to affect us so that fear, the anxieties, that lack of faith, that these things can come and erode and increase within us, so the point where we might give up running the course. No, he says, we need to stick to it. Now, whether you acknowledge it or not, I have to tell you this morning that we're all, every one of us in this room, is an athlete. You're an athlete. Some wry smiles going around here. And we may not be running the streets of London along with Henry McGill and my cousin and all those thousands of others, but you are an athlete. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel, yeah, I'm going to flex those well-honed muscles, and I'm going to rush out, and I'm going to buy myself a pair of Nike trainers? No, you may not go that far, but you are going to, in fact, you are already in a race. You are already in a race. And that race is either a worldly race or it is a spiritual race. But either or, you are in a race. And I'd like to tell you that there's no spectators. Jonathan and Helen this morning are spectating. I'd like to be a spectator standing on the side with a drink and a Cornish pasty saying, come on! No role for me in that. No role for you in that. You're in the race. You're taking part. And this is exactly what Paul is alluding to in the verses that we've read, okay? They are looking to receive, in the actual event, a victor's crown, a wreath. I mean, Paul calls it a crown, but it was actually something more akin to a laurel wreath or something. And he says in verse 25 that it won't last. It's here, it's passing, it'll be gone. There may have been a period of notoriety. There may have been a bit, oh, he's the guy that won the marathon in the Isthmian Games. But it's all passing. It's all gone. You don't know who it was now. It's all gone. The race we are in is far, far different. How we finish it has massive consequences. Massive consequences. You see, in addition to a spiritual life, if your faith, if your heart, if your desire is for the Lord Jesus and you've put your trust in him, we're also doing normal life. Of course we are. We know we are. We're doing normal life, and life is busy. Life can be hectic. You probably don't need me to stand here and tell you sometimes it can be fraught. Sometimes you just got to get your head down and get through a week. Sometimes you've got to get your head down and get through a circumstance or a situation, a trial, a period. And it's tough. But then you put your head up and you think, ooh, years have gone by. Actually, years have gone by just what? Doing life. Doing life, doing life. What do I mean? Well, what's your life all about? Is it all about material life? Is it about possessions? Is it about, I want a house, I need a house, I'd love to get a house, I'd love to have a mortgage, it's tough, I don't know if I can get there, but I want it. I want a decent car, I want a good job, because I've got to get the money to finance the things that I want. Now, none of those things is massively wrong. Nothing of those things are massively wrong, because millions out there, millions of people are following, especially in the Western world, a very similar course, a very similar race. But Paul wants to let us know this, that there is a more important path. There is a more significant course. And it's one that cares for your soul, one that cares for your spirit, one that cares for this that's within. And it's all about a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to get across. I want to tell you this morning, standing here in the fullness of my faith, that there is a prize, and we've sung it in that last song at the end of this life. There is a prize, and I'll tell you what it's not. It's not a slap on the back. It's not a gold-coloured medallion, and it's not a certificate to say you took part. It's none of those things. It's an eternal life in Christ, in heaven, in the courts, received by the glorious Saviour. And it's for those who finish the course, whose heart and strength is set in him, and they maintain it until they get to the finish line, whatever that may look like. You see, we are all offered the way of the gospel. We're offered the way of Christ Jesus. And if we accept him as Lord and Saviour, we embark upon that course. We embark upon that track. And at the end, we shall receive what, a wreath? No, a crown of glory that shall never, the word says, perish, spoil, or fade. And that we can cast that before our Maker. Now, I want to tell you this as well. Something very different in respect of this race that Paul is speaking to as he writes to his Corinthian brothers and sisters. because it's not like any other race that you or I could ever think of or align ourselves to. And the reason is because in this race that we're in, we're not running against one another. I'm not trying to make it first, second, or third. I'm not trying to outdo you. I'm not trying to score points, either as an individual or us perhaps as a church against another church. It's not about that. This race isn't about those things. In this race, we run together. In this race, we advance together. Just as the advice for the marathon runner is, get alongside another person. Get alongside others who are looking to do the same thing. The same advice is given. We're stronger when we're together. We're stronger, much stronger. So what does that mean? It means serving. It means helping. It means aiding. It means helping every one of us, as it were, every step of the way to make it to the finish line. You know, there are many occasions, and you've probably seen it, heart-touching situations, where you see a runner in a marathon and they can't quite make it to the finish line. They're spent. They haven't got an ounce of energy left. And what do you see happen occasionally? Another runner picks them up. Another runner or runners carry them over the finish line. Why does that count? It does. It does. They made the course. And that's the sort of thing that we're talking about. Does anybody's memory go far enough back that they remember a run of an athlete called Derek Redmond? Someone say yeah. Stuart at the back. Derek Redmond. Let me tell you, he ran for GB, Great Britain, in the 1992 Olympics back in Barcelona. And he ran in the 400 meters. And he was a brilliant runner. And he was played with injury toward the Olympics, coming up to the Olympics, a bit like some of those runners out there this morning. Something wasn't quite right, but I'm taking part. And he did take part, and he got through the heats, and he got through the semi, and he ran in the final. And halfway around the final, his Achilles tendon snapped. And he fell to the ground as though someone had shot him. All the others, 400 meters, you can imagine, they've gone, they're finished. He gets up and he starts hopping on his good foot to try to make it to the finish line. I completed the course. But he couldn't do it. It was in agony. It was horrible to watch. And if you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend looking it up on YouTube. It's quite something. But then out of the crowd comes a guy. Out of a crowd comes over the barrier and runs up to this guy and aids him every step of the way to the finish line, just in the way that some people do in the marathon. Oof, I'm going to... His dad. Helped him to the very end. His dad said to him... I'll tell you what, it's one of the emotional and most emotive things in the Olympic history, because it speaks of more than gold medals. And his dad said afterwards, he simply said this, I saw my son was having a problem, and it was my duty to go and help him, to get him up for the line. And if you haven't seen it, do see it, because you can see what effect it has on me. I'm in tears every time I watch it. And it speaks volumes, because it's about what we're about with one another, to aid, to assist, and the calling. Listen, there are times in your Christian life where everything is rosy, where everything is good, where your forward momentum is great. I'm loving God. I'm loving the Word. I am loving the Christian experience. It's a bit like, you know, they talk about runners, these endorphins, that when it kicks in, I just feel like everything's in sync and I'm going. I've never experienced them myself, but anyway, I understand they're out there somewhere. But the fact is they talk about this, and that can be experienced in your Christian life. Everything is going well. Equally, there are times, possibly, where the times are tough. The course is arduous. The length of the course is ridiculously long. Where your spiritual legs are beginning to give way. Where you feel, I can't do this much longer. And they start to wobble and you think, I tell you what, I probably made better progress on my hands and knees than I would do on my spiritual legs at this time. The highs and the lows. And I have no doubt that on that course at this very minute, there are people experiencing those highs and there are people starting to experience those lows. And I am equally sure that there are people sitting here this morning or watching at home that are experiencing the Christian high or the spiritual Christian low at the moment. The encouraging thing, though, about this course, this run that we're on, that Paul alludes to, is that we're not setting Olympic qualifying times. We have time to slow down. We have time to take stock. We have time to pause and by God's grace to refocus. We have time to be encouraged through brothers and sisters. We have time to take time on the Christian journey to renew your spiritual energy. You've got that time. I know the most important thing about, I mentioned that 90-year-old lady who finished the course back in, whenever it was, 2002. But the most important thing was she finished the course. It wasn't the time she set. No one was talking about the time she set. We're talking about, oh, you're an idea, you finished the course. And it's amazing. We have time to slow down. I'm sure she didn't whack it with all the other, of course she didn't. 90-year-old woman, but she finished the course. And we have time to encourage one another, especially those that are finding life tough. Jesus says, Matthew 25, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in." Never, ever, ever, ever be too focused on your own performance, your own race, that you cannot stop, help, aid others every step of the way. Now, I want to mention one other thing as well here. It may be times where you do find it tough and you may be struggling and you may think, well, I'll tell you what, it's a passing thing. It's an emotional thing. I'm going through something. It's a physical thing. I'm not feeling well and it's lingering and I'm not where I should be and it's just weird. But I'm all right. I'm passing. If a marathon runner starts to struggle on the course, even as a non-runner, as a non-running spectator, I know it. Why? Because it's obvious. They're struggling. They're barely pulling themselves along. Not necessarily so in a Christian life. Why? Because we do have an ability, all of us, to put on a bit of a front. I'm all right. I'm all right. Everything is okay with me when you know it's not. It's not. It's not. And if you take that stance, if you go down that course, do you know what you're risking? You're risking playing into the hands of the enemy. Why do you say that? Because you can be cut adrift. You can be cut adrift of other people. I don't need prayer. I can handle this. I don't need anyone to come alongside me. I don't even have to ask because I can handle it. But this is often the standpoint of men. This is often the standpoint of guys. Oh, no, I'm all right. I'm okay. Listen, many of us have been there. I've been there. And I can tell you this morning, in hindsight, it would have been an awful lot easier, an awful lot better, an awful lot more palatable if pride or whatever it was for me or it may be you that got in the way had been pushed aside and we'd asked in the first place, I need some help. I need some help. But let's look to support, but let's be supported too. Let's not be too proud. Oh, I can't do that. Do you know how long I've been a Christian? That's not what it's about. Let's look at our scripture again. I'm going to read from verse 26. "Therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." What's Paul trying to convey in those words? What's he trying to say? Well, when an application is made for a marathon runner out there to run in the London Marathon, they wait expectantly. Yeah, I'm one of those that's got... Wow, then they start training. It's obvious they just can't turn up on the morning and go, I'm going to give it a go. Or if they do, they'd be nuts. But, you know, anyway, they don't. They devote themselves to a program. They devote themselves to something that which, over the weeks and the months, will change them and put them into some sort of shape for this what is demanding run. Of course it's a demanding run. They need to build, amongst other things, stamina. They need to build strength, endurance. They need to build all of these things. And they need to be self-disciplined. They have to be. There's not going to be much progress if it's me that gets the invitation. Oh, all right, I'll do it. And today I'm going to go for a miles jog. And then I don't do anything for the next 3 weeks. I mean, where is the progress? There is no progress. It has to be disciplined progress. And just like the runner or the boxer that Paul's talking about here, we also need to bring our bodies, our minds, our spirits into alignment with the ways of the Lord.
Paul says elsewhere, he speaks to this time to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, verse 14. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now listen, he's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about salvation. Listen, salvation is a free gift given to us by God. Where our faith is placed in the finished works of Christ Jesus, we ask for the forgiveness of sins, we are given it. Not by works, but by grace. He's not talking about that. What he is talking about is not determined effort for salvation, but determined effort to be more Christ-like, to be more godly, to be on what the Bible uses a flash word when it says sanctification. What it means is a changing process of being more like me to more like my Savior. That's what he's talking about, pressing on this goal, being more Christ-like. He wants to know that when he gets to the end of his life, he will hear the Lord say to him that he had finished the race well, that he had done what he had been asked or geared, as it were, to do. He even says so. He declares it to his young friend Timothy in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. So the finishing line is to become more like Jesus, and it's all about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Just what Pastor Jonathan was preaching to us about last Sunday, about the way of the Holy Spirit making this transformation possible, calling upon him, seeking him. And the more that we focus, the more that we hold, the more that we adapt our lives to following him, the more and faster, as it were, that this progress, that this transformation progresses. For the marathon runner, it's about training, it's about diet, it's about sleep, it's about adapting your lifestyle during the whole period of the training thing, i.e. not going out on the tiles, not taking on too much alcohol, being sensible throughout the whole training process, making right choices. For us, it's not a lot different. Not a lot different for Christ followers. Disciplining ourselves to God's word. Worshipping, prayer, meeting with other Christians and not giving up on doing that. Making wise choices. What we watch, what we read, what we listen to. Who am I meeting up with? Are they a help to me or are they a hindrance? Where I go, is this good for me? Being aware of sin and its longing to drag us back under its control. These are the things that we need to discipline ourselves. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, 1 and 2, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And it's not all about tough things. You know, oh, I make it sound so heavy, Kevin. But as we commit ourselves to this course, as we commit ourselves to this track, as we commit ourselves to Jesus, what about things like joy, love, faith, forbearance, kindness, increased for others in the church and others outside, increased for the Lord Jesus himself? This is the fruit. This is the fruit. You see, the marathon runner, the boxer, sets their ideals on a prize, hardships along the way. I'm going to put up with this. I'm going to endure this. We're doing it so that we might hear as we cross the finishing line, well done, good and faithful servant. That is what we're aiming for. Now, also, along the London Marathon right now, they're following a course. They're following a set course. If they go off course, problems. If they fancy a little detour, a little side road, that looks inviting, problems, they won't make the finishing line. They won't make it. Neither will me. In the spiritual race, neither will me. You know, if we start to head off down some blind alley, say, oh, this looks eluding, this looks interesting, we're going to run into problems. We're going to run into things like losing heart. We're going to lose focus. There are consequences. We're going to be subject and we are going to be vulnerable to sin's temptations when we start coming off course. And you see, just as the Bible in James speaks of pure water, salt water, not being able to flow from the same source, how can it? How could it? We need to understand that you can't run a worldly race and at the same time pursuing a Christian path. It's just not possible. But I tell you what, thousands try to do it. I'm going to have one foot over there and one foot over here, and I'm going to make great progress. No, you're not. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to be committed to our course. Listen, if you come here regularly on a Sunday morning, worship along with all these brothers and sisters, listen to the word, have a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, head out onto Bromley High Street, forget about Jesus. That's it. That's it for the week. That's it. Done it. Till the same time next week. Oh, I'll go to church again now. It's not what we're called to do. It's not what we're destined for. It's not what we are about, because it will lead to failure, certain failure. Trying to walk two courses. So let's keep our focus on Christ, please. If you're young in the Lord, if you're mature of many decades, on the Lord. Monday through to Sunday, January through to December, through the first point you come to faith, to the day of your retirement, and then by God's grace beyond. Keeping our eyes fixed on him. Why? Because Jesus is the beautiful prize. He is the wonderful prize. He is the glorious prize. He is the one that we're heading and setting out to attain. It's not an Isthmian's runner's flimsy little laurel leaf wreath. And as though it's highly commendable, it's not the London Marathon finisher's medal either. No, these are not lasting. We are on a course, a race that is to get a crown that's incorruptible, that will be given to you as you come into glory, as you come into the presence of the Lord. We shall see him as he is, and we will cast that crown before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, in conclusion, to recap, as it were, three things. One, make absolutely sure you're running the right course. The right course can be set out upon today. You mean, didn't make an application for the runner. I'm not talking about the runner. I'm talking about putting your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, asking the Lord to forgive you your sins and your trespasses, and to commit your life to this course, to his course, him being the prize. No matter how long you've followed the worldly way, no matter how far down the road you've gone, doesn't matter, you can start that course today. So if that's you and you are being spoken, Lord, I need that. I can't do this in my own strength. Then you need to come forward and you need to start that new journey of faith this morning. The other thing to do is not progressing in some haphazard, aimless, yeah, today but not tomorrow, Lord, sort of attitude. Not unfocused but fixed. With intent, with commitment, with desire, with purpose, with a focus on Jesus. And finally, we're not running this race solely fixed on me, where I am going, what I am doing, how I'm performing, how I am doing it. No, it's all about our heart to encourage, to bless, to stop, to come alongside, to support others. Why? In so doing, that we can all make it over the finish line. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bromley Town Church. You are always welcome to visit us on a Sunday morning, or join us again for more messages here online. You can also stay connected with us at www.bromleytownchurch.com.